It is a joy to be here again tonight, and as Kyla said, we want to try and do a number of things, a number of different things tonight. So let me ask you to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read just the final verses of the chapter. Tonight's theme really is a missionary theme. I'll talk a little bit about the mission board, and we'll come back then to Matthew chapter 8, and then I want to show you a couple of little video clips. One has to do with missionary candidates going out to the field. God willing, we'll have two missionary candidates going out this year and another one next year. Also, some building program that we're working on in Uganda and Kenya in preparation for those missionaries going out. That's another little four-minute video. And then there's a 15-minute video that deals with the work of the Whitfield College of the Bible. And I'll mention that a little later as well. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. These are verses that deal with post-resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ just before he returns to glory. We read, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And amen. We'll come back to this portion a little minute or two before we look at the various videos tonight. This year marks the 50th anniversary of our mission board back in Northern Ireland. It was formed in 1974. There was a request brought to Presbytery back then that a mission board would be formed for the advancement of missionary work across our denominations. And so back then, men were elected to the board and they served for a term on our mission board. We had two missionaries that went out, first of all, from our churches in Northern Ireland. One was Margaret Russell. She went to Kenya. And the other was John Hanna and his wife, who went to Spain. But from those very small beginnings, the Lord has been pleased to bless the work. And over the last 50 years, we are now dealing with upwards of 20 missionaries and missionary candidates, some at home, children's evangelists and evangelists at work in gospel missions, our brother Chris Killen, who works with the addicted. And then we have missionaries in various parts of the world. The structure of the mission board has changed over the last number of years. We discovered that the workload was becoming so big that our meetings were lasting so long. We weren't getting to all the business that needed to be done. And so we established a number of subcommittees. And so at mission board level, it's one of the largest commissions that we have at Presbytery, one of the largest boards we have at Presbytery. We have the chairman, and I serve as the chairman presently. We have a treasurer, and we also have a secretary, and the three of us are known as the mission board officers. We will meet throughout the month. We will meet on Zoom. We will meet together. We will meet missionaries. We will meet missionary candidates. We will meet with missionary-minded young people who feel called of God into mission work. And then we have a mission board that's made up of elders and ministers from our various congregations. And in that mission board, we have established four subcommittees. Each subcommittee has its own chairman, its own secretary, and the officers of the mission board can sit on those subcommittees. There is a subcommittee for Uganda. We call it the Uganda Oversight Subcommittee, the UOS, and you'll see a little bit of their work a little later tonight. We did take over a Christian school in Uganda about 10 years ago. When we took over that Christian school and the church, there was about 200 pupils in the school. We now have 500 pupils at the school. We are maxed out at that level. We can't really take any more. And we are seeking to build some accommodation for new missionaries in a land adjacent to the compound that we have. You'll see that also in the video. The Ugandan Oversight Committee is a very busy committee because of the school and the teachers. We have 40 teachers and support staff and others out there working for us in Uganda. We have a Kenyan subcommittee that works in regard to the mission work in Kenya. The Reverend Malcolm Patterson and his wife just retired from the work in Kenya last week, and they have now returned home to Northern Ireland. And we are looking forward to new missionaries, one missionary family and one single girl going out to Kenya in the next number of months. We have work in Kenya under the Glory Bible Church. Glory Bible Church is our registration out there. We were working with the Bible Christian Faith Church, the BCFC, especially in their Christian Academy, a Christian school. That has changed a little bit over the last number of months. We still support their pastors with some financial support in regard to their salaries, but our focus and our labour is with the Glory Bible Church primarily. And so we're seeking to establish churches under our own registration in Kenya, and that has been going well in the last number of months. We don't have so many registered churches, four or five out there. There are some outreach works and extension works that we pray will become congregations in their own right, electing office bearers and having men to serve as pastors. We have an Asian subcommittee that looks after the work in Nepal, work also in India, and some contacts that we have in Pakistan. And they also deal with all of that in a broad scale. We have some involvement in Pakistan that we don't have any direct contact with, in the sense we haven't been out in Pakistan, but a lot of that has been done via the internet, and we help a little bit with all of that. We have a home mission subcommittee that deals with our missionaries at home, our children's evangelists, ministry to the addicted, and Colin Maxwell, who laboured here for some time, and Noel Shields, who go around various parts of Northern Ireland conducting gospel missions, sometimes into the south of Ireland, across the border, and conducting gospel missions connected with our churches. And so there's a home mission subcommittee that look after them. And then we have some oversight in the works here in Australia, and that falls under the officers of the mission board, and we bring reports then constantly to the mission board itself. We have some people coming to retirement, some missionaries who are coming up to retirement, some who have just retired, and we began to realise 5 or 6 years ago that was going to leave vacancies on various mission fields. And so the mission board began to pray that the Lord would raise up new missionaries, missionary families, individuals who felt burdened and called of God to the mission field. And almost immediately, God began to answer prayer. The Reverend Ray Kerskadden was minister in a church in the south of Ireland. He felt burdened for Uganda way before we even had an interest in Uganda. And he thought that door was closed to him because someone else had gone out there. Then they returned home. He was asked to visit Uganda just to fill the pulpit and meet the need. And the Lord began to work in his heart. So he and his wife and three children moved to Uganda last June, and they have been labouring for the Lord there. So that was the first answer to prayer. Two young men come into Bible college, and you'll see them tonight. Two young men come into Bible college with the sole purpose of going to the mission field. They did not feel themselves called to ministry in Northern Ireland in a congregation there. They felt, no, the Lord has burdened us for missionary work. They weren't sure at that time where they would serve as missionaries, but as they went through their Bible college training and they visited various mission fields, one field's called to Uganda, the other field's called to Kenya, and for that we are very, very thankful. A young girl came forward. She did the 2-year course, and over the last number of months she has felt the call to Kenya too, and so she will be going out to Kenya, God willing, early next year. It's the first time in the history of the mission board that we have three missionary candidates all preparing for the mission field at the one time. We have a lot of deputation meetings that take place. Deputation meetings are used for two purposes. One, to raise prayerful support, and also to raise practical support for their time on the mission field. A missionary has to raise 70% of their finance. So to give you some idea what that looks like in practical terms, to take a family to Kenya or Uganda for a 3-year period to include salaries and transport and flights and relocation costs, upwards about £110,000-£120,000, $250,000 perhaps, in around that kind of figure. So they have to raise 70% of that through their deputation meetings or covenant support, and then 30% of that is raised by the Missionary Council. Missionary Council is a body that supports the mission board, and there are two representatives from every congregation at home, and they meet once a month, and they hear missionary reports, and they are to raise missionary interest in our congregations. Most congregations will raise an offering or have an offering monthly for the Missionary Council, and that money then goes to provide the 30% of support for our missionaries. Some people will covenant support to our missionaries on a monthly basis, covenant to give £10 or £20, whatever it happens to be. And that's very helpful for the board, because then we can plan forwardly and notice exactly how funds are going on. When we began to pray for new missionaries, and the brother and his family came forward in regard to Uganda, we discovered that created another problem for us. We don't have suitable accommodation in Uganda for our missionaries. We have a mission compound in Kenya, and you'll see a couple of the houses on the screen tonight, and those need refurbished, a little bit of renovation work before new missionaries go out. But in Uganda, we didn't have enough accommodation. We have little apartments there, but not suitable for a family. And so we have to build two houses and hopefully a third house on the ground adjacent to the mission station. When you see the video of Uganda, the ground to the left of the screen, outside the wall of the compound, is land that we have rights to build on, and we're trying to purchase that land outright completely so that we can go ahead and build on that. We've already started some of the work, and we're able to do that, but we'd love to buy that property straight out. So that's a burden that we have, to try and raise some funds to build those houses. We need another vehicle in Uganda, because a family's gone out with five people, so we need to buy another vehicle for them. And so we're in the process, and the Lord is answering prayer. You'll hear the treasurer comment on that in the video tonight too. Mission Board developed a strategy paper over the last number of years. It is our purpose not to spread ourselves too thinly. We would rather establish teams on the mission field rather than open up more mission fields without people actually able to go to them, or just individual missionaries going. We feel it's better to work in teams, and so we're trying to develop the work in Kenya and Uganda and Nepal, and here in Australia, seeking to give help here, and contact in the Philippines as well, seeking to establish that. Part of the strategy is to identify young people who perhaps the Lord is beginning to deal with, maybe in university, maybe before they go into their careers, maybe young people who are interested in mission work, and we try to link up with those young people early on and give them opportunities to visit the mission field in the prayer that the Lord would burden their heart. And if they show an interest coming into Bible college, if the Lord leads them that way, we keep in contact with them through their 4 years in Bible college and give opportunities for them to go out on mission teams and mission trips to the mission field, with the prayer that God would then burden them and they would feel called to a particular place of service. So that strategy paper has become very important for us. It sets a direction, God willing, for the months and years to come. Another thing we did as a mission board, we realized that the course in the Whitfield College of the Bible was quite limited. It was just one class a week on missionary themes. We felt we should try and develop that a little more. And so we talked to the chairman of the academic committee, looks after the college. We talked to the principal of the college. And we then eventually talked to Presbytery. And Presbytery agreed to give us Thursday afternoons in the Bible College timetable for missionary subjects. So from 1:30 to 4:30 every Thursday afternoon, there is now a much enhanced missionary course that deals with linguistics. It deals with working under a mission board, laboring in a different culture, cultural alignment. It deals with some practical things such as mercy missions, medical matters, tropical diseases. They're starting on Thursday this week after the Easter holidays to deal with first aid. And so they'll do a two-week course on first aid and electrical maintenance and mechanical maintenance. So when they go to the mission field, they have some knowledge of these basic things that they might need on the mission field. Every fourth-year student has to attend those classes. Every second-year student in the missionary course has to attend those classes also. Whether they feel called to the mission field or not, we're asking those men and ladies to attend that course. One other thing that we did, we decided to develop what we call the Bible Training Institute for young men who are in various parts of the world, in Kenya, Uganda, Liberia, India, the Philippines, who want to learn a little more about the things of God and do a little bit of extra study. And so we established a two-year course by correspondence. We email out lectures to them. They send us back assignments. And last year, the first year of that, 3 years ago now, we had 22 men enrolled on that. They didn't all complete the course. Some of these men are answering the assignments just on a phone, on a smartphone, so it's very difficult for them to submit assignments. Sometimes the internet connection wasn't working for them. This year we have 8 men who have enrolled, and they are very faithful in getting material back to us. And so we're thankful for the stability that seems to have come into that course over the last number of months. A lot of things to pray about, a lot of things to pray over. We are very thankful to the Lord for what he has enabled the board to do under the guidance of the presbytery. Sometimes I'm just amazed at the finance that comes in to finance God's work. We are amazed sometimes at the support among our own young people. We have a mission trip going out to Spain now in July that's oversubscribed. There's a mission trip going out to Nepal in October, November time. It's also oversubscribed. And so we're thankful for that ongoing interest among the youth of our congregations. If I can ask you to remember the treasurer, he has gone with his wife to Uganda this week. He should be in Uganda today, and then we'll fly home again on Saturday. The deputy moderator and a member from the mission board, they are in Nepal at this time doing a pastor's conference. And I read a little note this morning, about 50 or 60 pastors have signed up for that conference. And that will run for 3 days. It's a very intensive conference, and they will be there until next week. We are here in Australia, so very often we will find members of the mission board traveling to various places to encourage God's people and to help in the work. So as the Lord lays that upon your heart, keep those people who are traveling, keep them before the Lord in prayer. I draw your attention to Matthew 28 because these are very familiar missionary verses. I don't want to deal with it in great length tonight, but these are the words of Christ, the head of the church, the sole king of his church. And what he's doing here is setting out to the church his plan for it, his purpose for his people in his absence. Christ has taken his leave of them. He's going back to heaven. He has finished the work his Father gave him to do on earth, his redemptive work. But there is the unfinished work of Christ that we have part in. And so he tells these disciples, and by extension he tells us, that there's something we need to be doing, something we should be thinking about. So look at what he says in verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There are four alls in those verses. Let me highlight them very quickly to you. There is the all of Christ's command. He says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. So Christ commands us to go. You might well ask, why go to Uganda? Why go to Kenya? Why have missionary interest in Liberia? Our North American church has interest in Mexico and in the Czech Republic. We have interest here in Australia. We have interest in various parts of the world, in Spain, the south of Ireland. You might ask, why? Why do that? Well, Christ commands us to go and teach all nations, not just our own nation, but other nations too. And so this command from Christ lies at the heart of the efforts of our mission board. Then you have his commission, not just his command. He doesn't just tell his disciples to go unto all nations. He tells them to go and teach all nations. And then verse 20, he tells us what we are to teach, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. There's the second all in that text, the all of commission. What we're to do as we're commanded to go forth, we are to teach. We're to teach them what Christ has commanded us. Ultimately, this is a gospel text. We are to teach the gospel. The Church of Jesus Christ is not to be engaged, primarily at least, in humanitarian work. That's not our mission's focus. We do help in times of great need. We have an emergency aid fund that helped in times of earthquake in Nepal when the Ukraine war broke out. We helped there. We helped with matters in the years when COVID was rampaging its way across various nations. We helped in times of Ebola in Liberia. We have an emergency aid fund to help people with food and clothing and blankets and just the practical needs of life. But our primary focus is to teach them the things that Christ has commanded us, to teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's our commission. We're commanded to go, and we're commanded to go with the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 18 carries another all, and it is the all of confidence. How can we go with assurance to this mission work? Well, Christ says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's because of who he is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All power has been given unto him. As the eternal Son of God, he has power. But this verse is talking about Christ as our mediator. Having finished the work that his Father gave him to do, he now ascends to glory, and all power has been given unto Christ. And he tells us, since all power has been given unto him, go ye therefore. And what he's saying is that that power that he has will be exercised for the church's good and for the glory of his name. And then you have the all of his comfort in verse 20. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. We don't serve God alone on our mission fields. The Lord has promised to be with his people, with them every step of the way, in the challenging times, in the good times, in times of sickness, times of health, times when the work is growing, times when the work seems to be more difficult. The Lord has said, I am with you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And so these things, these truths from Matthew chapter 28, inspire and encourage and excite us as we're involved in the work of missions. And I trust it'll do the same for you tonight. And I trust that you'll pray with us and pray for us, that the Lord will bless his work. And who knows that even from this congregation and from the congregations in Australia, the Lord will raise up young people who will say, here am I, send me. The Lord will touch hearts and lives. And that as we think about mission work now, and more will come to retirement in the years to come, that young people now will be raised up of God and burdened to take the gospel to others. There's a young man working under our mission board in North America, works in Mexico City with his wife and family, and he felt burdened for Mexico as an 8-year-old child in Sunday school. Sunday school teacher mentioned Mexico, and that thought was put in his mind and his heart by the Spirit of God as an 8-year-old in Sunday school. He went through college, he went through Bible college, and now he's a missionary in Mexico City. And the Lord is blessing him. And maybe someone here will feel the call of God as well. So I trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts tonight and bless these little videos. There are 3 of them, 4 and a half minutes long. The other to do with the Bible college is a little longer. It'll give you an idea of what we're trying to do. A little idea of what is happening in Bible college and the importance of our Bible college too. So we'll go straight to those now if that's okay.